There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Fitzpatrick. End zone. Eric Decker holds it in. The Jets win in overtime.
And the New York Giants, given last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
This is NFL Friday, going long on all news, reaction, and game picks for the Giants, Jets, and across the NFL on WFUV Sports.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome into the Rose Hill Studios here at Fordham University. This is NFL Friday, the exclusive NFL podcast of WFUV Sports. I'm your host, Evan Harkin, joined alongside host Trey Rodriguez and Grace McCarron, with Will Talent behind the board producing this one. And this one, guys, it's a little bit of a special one right here. Trey, I think me and you are very good. I think we're very good at predicting winners of football games. I think we're, some would say, amazing, but I don't think we're perfect. We can't call ourselves perfect. However,
definitely not.
We are in the presence of two people who, for at least this week, can call themselves perfect. Grace McCarron, co-host, Will Talent, producer, both 16-0 on their NFL picks last week. Every single game was right. Pretty amazing. They picked all of the upsets, all of those hard games as well. They had the Eagles over the Ravens in Baltimore, had the Chargers over the Falcons in Atlanta. So, Grace, I'll kick it to you. How did you do it? How does it feel to be perfect?
Well, thank you, Evan, for the props, first of all. And I'd just like to say that I was actually very close to not having a perfect week because my Giants loyalties are unfortunately unending. Mm-hmm. And I was talking with my family, like, do I pick the Giants this week? Because I feel like they were going to mess up their draft position and beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. I thought really hard about it. I really was struggling with that one. And then I was like, you know, I got to put the Cowboys just because the Giants are so bad. And I've had to watch them every single week this year. We'll get more into that. But it was a great feeling to go 16-0. We were saying in mic checks, like, watching Monday Night Football between the Browns and Broncos was like, we were getting a little nervous about, are the Browns going to win this game and ruin our weeks? So.
And Will behind the board, of course, he's giving us thumbs up. He knows he was perfect this week as well. Trey, how you doing? Me and you, very good. Not perfect, but it's all right. It's all right. How you doing this football week?
I'm not doing good this football week. My man, Trevor Lawrence, got absolutely killed on the field. It's a horrible season to be a Jaguars fan, and it's honestly depressing watching what's happening to this team right now. But Trevor Lawrence getting hurt is just icing on the cake. It's not been a fun week for football.
No, crazy play that he was talking about where Trevor Lawrence leaving the pocket, running upfield, Azeez Al-Shaair, you've probably seen it, comes in, lays the hit, 3-game suspension he was given. He posted a post on social media that was pretty funny. It included the Joker and saying if people want him to be the villain, he'll be the villain now.
Oh, my God.
I didn't see that. I didn't see that, actually.
You can look at it. The Joker's not the only one. There's, like, 4 different villains there. It's a collage of villains. And then the comments were all, like, imagining destroying someone's season with a dirty play and then calling yourself the victim.
Get the guy out of the league. Come on.
A guy who's been suspended in the past for hard hits, a hard-nosed player in Azeez Al-Shaair.
He hurt Sunshine. Get him out, man.
He can't hurt Sunshine. The golden boy right there, Trevor Lawrence, out for the season. But moving on to the game we saw last night, Thursday Night Football, the Lions 34-31 W over the Packers. A big game for the Lions and a big game for Jared Goff. 280, 70%, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Some are calling it the Jared Goff legacy game, showing that he can lead this team when they need him to do it. It was an overall worst rushing performance by the Lions all season. David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs combined least rushing yards on the year. Who needs to step up? Jared Goff, and he does, goes out there and beats the Packers. What'd you guys see from the Lions and the Packers?
Well, first of all, Green Bay was down 10 at the half, and then they took 2 separate leads after halftime and still lost. So it's kind of tough on them. It's 2 very good football teams. Also, I'd just like to say that we are running it back for another perfect week because I did pick the Lions in this one. But yeah, just a super highly competitive football game. Two highly competent offenses, yeah, which is not something that I've gotten to see, yeah, as a Giants fan. So.
None of us are used to that.
It was enjoyable to watch for sure.
I mean, yeah, honestly, I don't think I have much to say about the Lions here. What they do is just kind of expected every week at this point. Yeah. I mean, it's very impressive with the amount of players they have injured, though, and they just still do everything they do, so it's great. But I feel like I was a bit disrespectful on the Packers at the beginning of the season, and honestly, they've been doing a pretty good job at holding up. I thought they were going to kind of, you know, not have as great as a season as last year, but they're one of the best teams in the league, and, you know, sure, Jordan Love didn't have the best game ever, but I feel like disrespecting him a little bit. They've been playing really strong, and I feel like, yeah, this is, you know, a close loss to the best team in the league. Mm. Like, there should be really good expectations for them in the playoffs. They should expect to make some noise. I'm excited to watch them actually in the playoffs. I think maybe we could see a little NFC Packers versus the Lions NFC Championship. That'd be a crazy game.
That'd be electric.
Yeah, this was an awesome game. Would be really good to see them later down the line. I feel like sticking with the Lions, kind of the thing everyone points on the Lions is, can Jared Goff get it done? You know, he's the guy. Sort of with the Niners and Brock Purdy, you assume that the rest of the team is going to go out there and get it done. Most of the fingers are on Jared Goff. If he plays well, the Lions will win. That's mostly how it's been the last couple of seasons. It's kind of lingering as the identity. I don't think it is the identity of the Lions anymore. I think Jared Goff simply is really good in this offense, playing under center right now, 25 touchdowns, third in the league, 10 interceptions. He had a game where he threw 5, so if you take that game out, they won the game that he threw 5 interceptions in. Going back to your point that you just expect the Lions to go out there and win football games, but how about that fourth down right there? I kind of want to bring that up. It's fourth down. You can kick the field goal right there, make it. You are up by 3 points if you're the Detroit Lions. Give the Packers the ball back with 30 seconds. I think every other team in the NFL does that at that point in the game. The Lions, we know they're super aggressive. We know Dan Campbell likes to flex that muscle that they have. They do it, and it works to perfection. I think just showing how physically dominant this team is and can be down the line. But switching to a team that is not at all dominant by any means, the New York Giants. New York Giants, a 27-20 L against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, ruining the family tradition of Thanksgiving for all of us here in New York. Luckily not you, Trey, as a Jaguars fan. You didn't have to sit through that as a fan of the team.
Come on, really.
It's been a hard enough week for all of us out here, but tough week from the Giants. What'd you guys see from Big Blue?
Well, first of all, the biggest issue other than the loss, which was expected, mm-hmm, was Dexter Lawrence,
yes,
is over. Like, it's over. It's just over.
That's all we have.
Literally the only, other than Neighbors, who now is injured as well with a hip flexor, there's nothing left. There's literally nothing left. I could go on and on saying mean things about them like my dear dad did on Thanksgiving, but they have the first pick in the draft right now. You have to do something that's going to change the direction entirely, do an entire 180, because they have some pieces. They have Dexie. They have Neighbors. Hopefully he sticks around. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he'd want to, but no. You got to make some changes. I don't know what they're going to do front office-wise, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's some things that change.
Some of the comments that Neighbors makes on social media kind of scares me a bit. Like he's a rookie and he's saying all this stuff. Like, I'm pretty sure he was the one who said, like, you know, when after the Tommy DeVito game, they're like, you know, DJ wasn't a problem, right? Like, you don't really hear rookies say that much.
No.
They're usually pretty quiet. And, I mean, I know Neighbors a big personality guy, but it definitely kind of gets me nervous that once his contract is over, like, what might happen here? They have such a good talent in him, and they need to get some pieces around him. But, and Drew Lock, you know, he's Drew Lock. Like, not much to expect out of him. It was kind of a really bad quarterback game, but, you know, it's just so weird. I feel like the Giants just, they always play good against the Cowboys, but they just lose every single time, and it's like you hope for a win eventually against them.
Yeah,
at Cooper Rush, you would expect this could be the time, you know, Drew Lock, the Giants saying that they knew what they had in Drew Lock, and that's why they went with Tommy DeVito instead of him earlier in the season. This is what they had in Drew Lock. It was 178 yards, a pick, and no touchdowns. Could have reached the ball across the pylon very simply and scored that rushing touchdown. Great rush by him, though. I don't want to take anything away from that play. It's just an icing on the cake that he didn't score the touchdown there on that play. Shows the type of quarterbacks we've had for a while now in New York. And I think that brings up the number one pick in the draft you were mentioning, Grace, because it's a lot of speculation. Do you go get Shador? Do you get Cam Ward? Do you get a quarterback? And then the Giants' other option, obviously at one, you're taking a quarterback or you're moving out of one, is to move down and probably get a first-round pick lower in the teens, maybe in the tens, get more second-round picks, more third-round picks, and build around it. So what do you guys think? Do you guys think they should go after that quarterback? I personally think what you brought up with Neighbors is that rookies nowadays, they make millions of dollars in college. They know who they are. They have confidence. They have voices. They're not the rookies that got paid 10 cents in the early 2000s. They are going to speak up, and they're going to be outspoken. They're going to cause problems for your team if they're not good when they get there. I think the Giants should go get more offensive linemen, get pieces around a quarterback. Say we draft Shador and Cam Ward, and he's as upset as Neighbors, which could totally happen in this first season. That's another disaster. So I don't know what you guys think. What do you guys think in terms of the Giants at one?
I think that's a good point. I think that that would be fine. Obviously, like, the splashy new quarterback that you pick first overall is the story, and everyone's like, well, Shador could be, you know, could change the franchise. They've also never, just on another note, they've never had a black starting quarterback, so that would be interesting. But it's, I don't really know. There's so many things wrong with them that it's only, you can't fix it all by just one guy. Like you said, they could get more offensive linemen. They could get a lot of lower picks to get more pieces. But I don't know that this right now, like, they need to get the quarterback with the first overall pick, because, I mean, next season they're probably not going to be that much better unless they got a rookie quarterback and he went Jaden Daniels and was awesome.
But Shador could do.
He could do. He was very good in college. Yeah. Cam Ward's pretty good too.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's so bad. It's so bad. Like,
I think, honestly, I do think they should go with the quarterback, and I think they should go with Cam Ward more than anything, actually.
I like it.
I feel like Shador is, like, I mean, he would love New York, because, him and Neighbors together, oh my God, that'd be such a social media team right there. like that'd definitely be a great headlines team. Social media would love that, but, like, I don't know. I think I like Cam Ward a bit better than Shador, and all right, this QB class isn't the most, like, stacked.
Yeah,
ever.
That's,
like,
another issue.
We can't expect any of these guys to be, like, future superstars, I think, but they'd be solid quarterbacks. And I don't know. I feel like when you have the option and you do have a quarterback that is number one pick worthy.
Yeah.
That's true.
I always do feel like you should take it, but yeah, their offensive line is really horrible. But, you know, I do feel like as of recent, some of these quarterbacks have kind of been fighting away with these terrible offensive lines. And honestly, I feel like half the NFL's offensive lines are horrible in the first place. So, like, it's a problem that a lot of teams share.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to your point, like, these newer quarterbacks are showing that they can give you faith, at least this year's draft class, with bad O-lines. Drake May, Caleb Williams, pretty much every quarterback except J.J. McCarthy, who was hurt, Jaden Daniels, that was taken early on, has at least shown your fan base enough to put faith in that quarterback. And if the Giants go another year, now they just passed up on all those quarterbacks in last year's draft. They could have moved up to go get one of them, and their criticism is for that. To your point, Trey, if they do that yet again, now they're facing more and more criticism. You could have got Shador. You didn't do it. You still don't have a quarterback. Eventually, you got to make your point and go grab someone. But we'll see if that's this year's draft.
And just
one more
thing, too. Look what happened the last time you picked an offensive lineman on.
Evan Neal, baby.
Don't remind me.
He was getting starting reps.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I don't think – we're getting a question here from producer Perfect Will behind the glass. He's wondering if they could trade for next year's first pick, maybe around the top of next year. I'm assuming, Will, that's Arch Manning territory right there. Fulfill the prophecy, get the Manning. I like that.
I love that.
I think it's a possibility. I don't see why not.
That'd be fun.
I actually think,
if they're going to trade back for draft capital in this draft, it would make sense to go and trade for future draft capital as well. I think that typically happens. I think it would be really cool.
Yeah, I think that would be, like, best case scenario, too, because, like, first of all, the vibes would be unbelievably good around the Giants if they got another Manning, and
awesome.
They're also all, everybody seems to be saying that Arch is, like, better than Peyton was at his age, but I can't remember which one of them, because there's so many, but, like.
Yeah, I think it's Peyton.
Yeah, he was a Hall of Famer.
There's a story that, I think still at Texas, the speed limit on campus is 16 for Peyton Manning. Like, that's how good he was apparently down there in the SEC. But we were a little too young to watch his college days. But yeah, Arch would be really cool. Will made a great point, like the Bears did, you know, sending it down the line to go get a future number one that you'd like in a future draft. That guy being Caleb Williams, this guy being Arch Manning, would be very interesting. Another team that's going to be picking early on in the draft, right across locker rooms in East Rutherford, New Jersey, at MetLife, is the Jets. Right now they're sitting at 7th. It's a weird number right there, but coming off of a loss, 26-21 loss against the Seahawks, Aaron Rodgers did not play too well in that one. 53% passing, 185 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception, but besides that, those aren't very Aaron Rodgers stats we're used to seeing, but maybe that we're used to seeing this year. The Jets are very, very bad right now. What did you guys see from that Jets-Seahawks game? Another game where the Jets were favored and lost. They are statistically the most disappointing team of the betting era, being favored in most of the games that they lost this season.
It's pretty bleak. Also, as you pointed out, 7th is a very weird draft number to have. So it's, you know, Rodgers has said he wants to play next year, perhaps. I don't know. I don't think that the Jets can bring him back and justify that. Like, I don't. There's no justification for that with the way that he's been playing. And the way that I think, like, he deals with, A, the way he deals with the media, and B, the way, like, the locker, like, I don't love the vibe in that locker room either. They have so many young players who could be, like, they have really, really good players. Garrett Wilson, Sauce is having a bit of an off year, but he's really good, too. You have to start. It's kind of a similar tune with the Giants where you just have to, you just start over. Just forget that this ever happened, because the Aaron Rodgers tenure has been unbelievably bad, starting from the Achilles tear to whatever has been this season. You just have to move on, and you have to, with the 7th pick, I mean, maybe they try and trade up. I don't know if that would be a possibility for them, but maybe take a quarterback, try and get one in free agency. I don't know, but you gotta move on.
Yeah, I think that the Jets should take a quarterback. I think they should pull like a Falcons, you know, from this year's draft. Like,
I don't hate that.
Like I do think they should do that, but obviously not on a timeline that Penix is going to be on.
No,
but this team makes no sense to me. It really doesn't, because there's just so much talent and they just can't get anything done. It boggles my mind. It makes no sense, and it's like, I feel like they're in a bit of like a precarious situation here where they have to like. You have a bunch of young players, but, like, you've had these young players for a while now.
Yeah.
And their contracts are coming up soon, and with the way this team's going, they're probably going to want to leave. So, like, you have all this great talent on a team. Something's just not working out, but now you're just going to lose this young talent soon if you don't get things figured out, and they're just going to go back to another 10-year rebuild again. Like, it's just a scary situation for the Jets. I don't know why they just can't ever get it done.
Yeah, they're going to have to deal with the Saquon issue. You know, Garrett Wilson's going to want to leave or get $100 million as a wide receiver that has no quarterback or O-line. You're going to have to let him walk. Sauce Gardner's going to want the same thing. Breece Hall's going to want the same thing. Very sticky spot for the Jets. The stat I mentioned before, a little bit more specific, the New York Jets, the first team in the Super Bowl era to be favored in 9 of their first 12 games and end up 3-9 or worse. So statistically the most disappointing team of all time. Just some stats to back up what we already knew about the Jets this season. But I was at this Jets game, and I think you're absolutely right, Grace, just about the atmosphere in that Jets locker room. Aaron Rodgers looks like he's about to cry every time he's on the podium post game. He doesn't really look at any of the report. Like, I was at one home game that the Jets won. It was week 3 against the Patriots, and it was Aaron Rodgers was in a all black suit. He looked like John Wick. He looked super cool. He was, like, super adamant, telling us about the coverages that the defense was in, like, blessing the room with his Aaron Rodgers-ness. And ever since, he's like a sad dog on the stage. You can't get a word out of him. He's just trying to get off the stage, clearly, very quickly. It seems like he doesn't want to be there. I've heard on WFAN, they point to Rodgers not taking the blame the way quarterbacks are supposed to. A lot of times, Rodgers will say, this is one of his favorite quotes, there's 11 guys on the field, which isn't taking the target off. It is taking the target off you, but it's not directly pointing it at a specific player like he did with Mike Williams earlier on in the season. But definitely a bad vibe all throughout the Jets locker room.
You know what, too? Yeah. Just very quick.
No, yeah.
I don't think he's used to the big market of New York,
point.
Right?
That's valid. Yeah.
Like, you're in Green Bay. Yeah, it's a very successful team, but it's not a big market either.
Yeah, nobody's going after you like those New York
reporters. I don't think he's used to the media. I don't think he's used to the media.
Yeah, it's also like you talked about him, he doesn't ever take the blame, and it's always, I feel like he's never off of that, never talking about what he could do better. I mean, you can confirm you're in those press conferences, but like
it very rarely. It's yeah. very rarely I miss that throw, which he will say it, but
right.
It's,
but it's like
one question.
You're bad.
Yeah, to your point about the New York media, one question where I was like, "Whoa, that was a crazy question." Was yeah. someone asked him? He said, "There's now been 5 times this season where you and the offense had to go down and score, and if you scored points, you would have won the game. You're 0-5 in those situations. What's going wrong? Like, I don't think you're used to that." And Rodgers just like looked at him for a couple seconds, is like, "Yeah, there's 11 guys on the offense,
oh, boy.
And that's just like not the answer you want no. in New York. You know, that's the questions you're gonna get asked in New York. It's tough. You got to learn from Daniel Jones, just taking the beating until you're a practice squad safety.
Shout out to Daniel
that's what
Jones
you
got
to do
real.
Out here,
yeah."
But just got an update from Will on the Jets right now. Adam Schefter on Twitter. Jets head coach Jeff Olbrich announced Breece Hall and Sauce Gardner listed as doubtful for Ooh. Sunday's game against the Dolphins. I wanted to touch on that game against the Dolphins also because it's looking like bad news for the Jets more and more. They have not won in Miami since 2014.
Wow.
They are very
what?
Bad in Miami.
Oh, my God. What?
They are very bad when it comes to playing in Miami. Miami kind of does that to some teams, though. You know, a lot of those teams like the Packers and the Vikings have that cold weather atmosphere where those teams from the South come and play them. They always lose. Miami has that atmosphere where teams that play in the cold come down and they get super hot and they get worn out. It's not a good atmosphere for away games, but not winning in 10 years in there against a team in your division is a serious problem. Now they're going to be without a lot of their starters as well, Breece Hall and Sauce Gardner, along with C.J. Mosley. He won't be playing yet, so I think we can all say probably the Dolphins, right?
Yeah.
Probably
yes.
Filling out the Dolphins on the sheet this week. But I want to touch on a game last week, a game that we were talking about a little bit before off the mics. It was the Chiefs-Raiders Black Friday game, and it seemed like there was a little black magic in the air for this Black Friday, the Chiefs magic, whatever you want to call it. I called it the evil Chiefs magic. I don't know how they do it. You know, it brings up questions of, is the NFL rigged because of how coincidental it is that the Raiders, with Aiden O'Connell at the helm, are now in position. They just got a big first down, so now they're in position to kick a field goal and win the game, give it back to Patrick Mahomes with very little time on the clock. And the Raiders go into a huddle after picking up that first down, stand in that huddle until there's 6 seconds on the play clock. I don't know why you'd ever stand in a huddle until there's 6 seconds on the play clock. Nevertheless, when you know all you have to do is spike the football and kick a field goal, if they wanted to throw an incomplete pass, kick a field goal, they could have done that too. That's all that needed to happen. And they wait till there's 6 seconds on the clock. Then they showed it on the TV cast. You can see Aiden O'Connell quickly try to speed everybody to the line at 6 seconds. Why did you wait till 6 seconds? You had 28.
Awful.
Now they're at the line. The center picks up the ball and just throws it. And like no one was set. He just threw it behind him at Aiden O'Connell. Hits Aiden O'Connell in the chest. The Chiefs pick it up. And then this was like the weirdest part to me. The refs initially call it a false start. And a false start would have been a 5-yard penalty. The Raiders still have the ball. It's a repeat of down. They still would have very much well been in field goal range. The outcome of the game probably would have been the same. Raiders field goal, win the game. Then the referees all like big fiasco. They get back together after they've made that call and say, hold on, it's an illegal formation, which by the rule means that the play does count. It's not a replay of down, so that it is actually a fumble, and the Chiefs hop on the football. Now it's Chiefs ball. Is the NFL rigged?
I mean, I usually say no, but
yeah,
after watching the end of that game, I'm like, wait.
Same.
All of a sudden, I'm like, hold on. It was like watching a movie. Watching a movie about bad football teams just screwing it up over and over again, waiting till 6 seconds. Like,
why would they wait till 6 seconds?
Snap. Like, guys,
it's getting so suspicious.
It was very suspicious. Someone was getting paid off, perhaps.
That could be a false start.
Like, yeah. I generally, when I saw that, I was like, I knew that was going to happen. Like, this happens every single week. And, like, I thought it couldn't get more ridiculous than the Broncos game with that block kick.
God. Yeah. Oh,
and then
God.
This happens. And it's like, it can't keep happening.
No.
It's like Mahomes made a deal with the devil or something.
He did.
That's insane.
Yeah. He did.
And something always comes out like 2 weeks later, like, oh, the NFL's not rigged. Look, the Chiefs knew all along. There was a video that the Chiefs knew exactly what part of the Broncos field goal block unit they had to penetrate.
Knocked on the ground.
Yeah, the guy that they knocked on the ground. I'm sure there'll be like a report that Aiden O'Connell's headset was broken, and that's why they didn't get out on the field in time. But They showed in the TV broadcast. I was saying to myself out loud, why are they not at the line? All you're doing is spiking the ball here. And they're in a huddle. And then Aiden O'Connell covers his ears because someone's talking to him in his helmet. And then frantically starts to, like, scream at everybody. They cut the camera away from him. You can't see what he's saying now. Everyone runs to the line. I guess by rule, if the center's the only one set, it could be an illegal formation. But we've seen many times the center snap the ball, nobody else move, and the call be false start on everybody but the center. So, I mean, we've seen that go both different ways. It's very suspicious considering it's the Chiefs. Nevertheless, the Chiefs remain supreme. They remain the top of the NFL right now. And we're going to go into the playoff bracket right now because it's heating up. The AFC is pretty much set, guys. We got Chiefs and Bills clinched into their playoff spots as the one seed in their division. We have the Steelers and Texans in the same boat already in. They're locked. And then we have the Chargers at 5 right now, 94% chance to make the playoffs. Ravens, 97% chance to make the playoffs. Behind them, the Broncos with a 78% chance. Only team on the bubble, the Colts, with a 24% chance. We're not even going to take that serious. The AFC is set right now. So we got Chiefs, Bills, Steelers, Texans, Chargers, Ravens, Broncos. And I kind of wanted to get a hot take about the AFC playoff bracket from one of you. Maybe an underdog, maybe a team you think could go all the way.
You know, honestly, I can't believe I'm even saying this because, I mean, normally I would just say stuff about the Texans. I hate the Texans, but I'm not going to do that this time around. I think a team that could be like a surprising team, I think, is the Steelers, because it's like it doesn't even feel like they're actually winning all their games with just solely grit this season. That's the only reason why they're winning. Like, they're actually playing like prominent football, and when they've been underneath Russell Wilson, like, they've been playing great. Their offense has actually looked like an NFL offense, and it's not just been complete defensive football. Like, I really do think that this team could actually go out there and, you know, definitely win the first round. And I think that they could maybe win the second round too. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team at all. I don't think they would win a conference. I don't think they would win a conference championship. Mm-hmm. But I totally see them. I know they're a third seed, but I think people are still sleeping on them. And I generally think they'll go out there and upset some team that people thought were going to win.
Yeah. I'm going to go, well, this is kind of off of what we were just talking about with the Chiefs. I don't think that this devil magic can keep, unless the NFL really is rigged, which I don't think it is. Oh. But, I mean, week by week, I start getting a little bit suspicious. But assuming the NFL is not rigged, I don't think the Chiefs can keep up this devil magic, and they will not make the Super Bowl, which I don't really, it's not the hottest take ever. It's kind of a little bit lukewarm, but
it's a hot take.
But yeah,
I agree.
It's kind of a hot. Actually, yeah, kind of is a hot take. They are the one seed, and I think it's going to be the Bills in the Super Bowl. Hopefully, I mean, we've been waiting for that one. I feel like I feel like Bills Lions is the Super Bowl that America deserves. But
the Bills scare me a bit.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to – I mean, now that I'm saying this, I feel like I've just jinxed everything, and it's going to be the Chiefs.
AFC's so open this year,
AFC's open. Maybe it's going to be the Steelers. You never know. But I don't know. I just think the Bills are so much – based on pure performance this year, I think the Bills are better than the Chiefs, and they should, if everything goes according to how it theoretically should. Mm-hmm. The Bills should be in the Super Bowl, but it is the Chiefs. Yeah. We don't know what horrible forces in the universe are helping them out. So
we'll see Travis Kelce go back to prime form.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a great point, actually. All
as
of a sudden, he's going to turn
Swift
into
comes
his
on camera,
self.
We're in trouble.
Yeah.
Where everyone else in the NFL is in trouble. I think in the AFC, one of my hot takes, I hate the Texans. I don't think the Texans are that good of a team this season.
I love that take.
Stroud is
so overrated. So overrated.
As a Jags fan, I'm sure you love that take. But... Right? I mean, C.J. Stroud right now in a sophomore slump,
he's
absolutely.
Not impressed me at all.
He hasn't been impressive this season, taking a step down from last season. The O-line's been bad. The O-line's been one of the worst statistically in the league at protecting Stroud, who's been hurt in games because the O-line's so bad. Azeez Al-Shaair isn't going to be out there for 3 games. He's the heart and soul, the captain of that defense.
And you want to know why? And you want to know why they're not doing as well this year? Because they're actually going against good teams now.
True,
last year, people don't look at this. Their schedule was horrible last year. The best team they beat last year was us. Like, in week 3.
Lost to the Jets. They lost to some bad teams last year, too.
That's true,
These guys are just genuinely
frauds.
Not contenders. They're not. In the future, I totally think they can be, but
yes.
Not right now. Yeah. Absolutely not.
I don't think they deserve that spot. I think the Broncos can kick them out of that spot. I would take the Broncos
Love
in
the Broncos.
A game that they played. I think the Broncos defense is awesome. I think Bo Nix is a lot better than anyone thought he would be, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And my other hot take, I think the Chargers are really good. I think the Chargers are going to make some noise at five. I think they made the right decision by getting rid of the cool accessories, as in Keenan Allen and the receivers and all those players on the outside that look really cool on social media, and made Justin Herbert the theoretical best quarterback in the league, and instead gave him a really good offensive line and a very good coach in Harbaugh. And that's really what you need to win football games. You don't need the cool social media accessories. You need a really good offensive line, a good coach, and a good core. And that's what they've given Trevor Lawrence. He's shown so far that he's dominating with that
Herbert.
This season. Oh, have I been saying? Oh, yeah. Herbert. Herbert. Justin Herbert, not Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, absolutely not. Won't be on a football field anytime soon out here. But hoping he gets a quick recovery. The NFC. The NFC is absolutely not set right now. It's actually pretty spicy right now. NFC West showdown this week. Now, the Seahawks will remain the number one in that division no matter what, no matter if they win or lose, because they have the tiebreaker. But they are one game ahead of the Cardinals. They're going to be playing the Cardinals this week in Atlanta. The Cardinals have an 11% chance to make the playoffs if they lose. They have a 61% chance to make the playoffs if they win. The Seahawks have a 26% chance to make the playoffs if they lose, and a 74% chance to make the playoffs if they win. One of the biggest games so far this season. Who do you guys think is going to win? I think that the Seahawks take this one. I think they're the overall better team. They're coming off a big win against the Jets. It was a good win on the road. Playing a second game on the road is tough, though.
Yeah. They also – I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go to Cardinals. Seahawks are really injured right now, which I didn't really realize.
True.
I mean, they practiced today, so we'll see officially who plays on Sunday. Leonard Williams did not practice a couple of days ago. Jonathan Hankins, DK Metcalf, and Kenneth Walker. They're all dealing with different injuries. We'll have to see. Obviously, some of them could still go. But I don't – that's not great.
Yeah, Walker was beat up. They were running a lot of Charbonnet against the Jets.
Also, the Seahawks lost to the Giants. So I just – I'm like, they're just not a good team. In my head, I'm like, they should just be eliminated now. Like,
at home, too. How do you lose the Giants?
Brutal.
At home?
Brutal.
I think I'm going to go with the Cardinals on that one, too, honestly. I think the Seahawks are like a big splash play team. And, like, it's like
– for sure.
I don't know, because I got DK Metcalf. Obviously, it's going to be a splash play team, because he gets down the field, it's over. But, like, I don't know. I really like the way Kyler Murray's been playing this season. Geno kind of scares me a bit. Like, he hasn't really had, actually, like, a great game this season, I feel. And
yeah, he just throws a lot. He has all those sets because he throws the ball the most.
Yeah.
It's just, like, I think it's going to be a really good game. And it's kind of cool that, like, it's still not, like, the very end of the season yet, and this game has so much implication to it.
So much.
Like, so it's cool that we have a very important game this early on in the season, but I'm going to go with the Cardinals on this one, but if the Seahawks were to win, I would not be shocked.
No. Yeah. Another cool little tidbit in that division, the Rams are also 6-6. Now, the analyzers aren't giving them as good of a chance because they're a worse team, mostly because they're playing the Bills this week, so they're assuming they're going to lose this week, and now they're cooked. But the Rams are also 6-6, as are the Cardinals, so the Rams could make a little bit of noise, but they'd have to beat the Bills this week. Just throwing that in there. You guys are making me want to change my pick to the Cardinals. You're absolutely right. The Cardinals are the better overall football team, and the Seahawks are the more splash-reliant football team. I think I'm going to stick with the Seahawks, though. I don't know what about them excites me so much. I think it is that splash and the ability to defend the splash with Tyreek Woolen on the outside. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't really get splashed on back on defense, so that's why I'm going to stick with them. But like you said, Trey, it's really cool to have one game like that. It's not the only game like that this week. NFC South, very close as well. Big game this week implications. The Bucks in the NFC South, 35% chance if they lose this week against the Raiders to make the playoffs. If they win versus the Raiders, they have a 67% chance to make the playoffs. The Falcons, the other team that's going to be fighting against the Bucks, they're not playing each other, but they're both fighting for that number one seed to make the playoffs. The Falcons have a 47% chance if they lose to make the playoffs against the Vikings this week. If they beat the Vikings this week, the Falcons a 73% chance to make the playoffs. Both of these teams right now are 6-6, and Atlanta holds the tiebreaker. But in terms of the Bucks and the Falcons, the Bucks versus the Raiders, are you guys going to give the Bucks the Bucks the nod in that one?
Totally.
I think
absolutely.
Obviously, right? So let's say the Bucks win that game. Falcons and Vikings. This was definitely one of the games I wanted to talk about this week, so I think we should just hop right into that in terms of the picks for this week's games. We're going to go right into Falcons at Vikings. This is going to be a really good game. I think the Falcons are going to play this game better than people think, keep it competitive and close. And I think the Vikings pull it out in the very end. I think the Vikings win by just about a field goal, something like that. But I think that the Falcons, understanding the implications this has on their season, I think Kirk Cousins is a quarterback that, although he doesn't perform in prime time in situations where he has all the attention, has shown that he can be clutch in situations where you need to win a game to do this, to do that. I think Kirk Cousins keeps it close. I think the Vikings win. What do you guys think?
I'm going to take the Vikings as well, but I'm not sure. I don't know that it's going to be that close. I was kind of down on Sam Darnold for a while. I was like, this is just a Linsanity run, and it's going to end.
Yeah.
And it kind of, like, didn't really end. Like, they're still 10-2, and he's, like, pretty solid. Yeah. So I'm going to – and also Kirk Cousins had 4 interceptions last week against the Chargers. That was really bad. But I will say Sam Darnold is 2nd in turnovers behind Kirk Cousins, who has 1 more than him. Cousins has 15, and Darnold has 14.
Ooh.
So – that's interesting. It is kind of evenly matched.
He'll have his interceptions for in that Jaguars game.
Yeah, exactly. But Sam Darnold has really impressed me. Shout out to the Jets on that one. He's 4th in the NFL, 23 touchdown passes. I'm just loving what I'm seeing from him. And obviously the Vikings have a lot of other super talented players
as
well.
It's nice to see Darnold doing good, though.
Yes, it's mostly Sam Darnold clutching up when J.J. McCarthy went down, and it's been like an unbelievable run from him. So I'm going to take the Vikes.
I'm not even doing this for the sake of being different. I'm just generally very high on the Falcons. Even going into the season, the Diggs have an impressive roster. You know, it's like I think they have like a very good like three-headed monster kind of with Kirk, Bijan, and then obviously there's no like absolute star wide receiver, but you still got like Drake London.
Yeah.
You still got Drake London. You got a great receiving core, and their offense is just genuinely very impressive sometimes. And like, you know, that's a key word sometimes. It's that sometimes they look absolutely unstoppable, and then sometimes they just can't do anything. But I just always liked how the Falcons, I feel like they're just a very balanced team. I don't think they have, like, any crazy weakness to them. And a lot of times it does rely on Kirk's playing, because I feel like he plays either absolutely amazing or absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
But I want to say the Falcons are going to win this game. I feel like Darnold has been on a bit of a downward trend in the past few weeks, and he has been, I think people might be starting to figure his play out a little bit now, but he's still playing pretty good. But I don't know, this game's going to be really close, and I do think the Falcons are going to come out of this one just because I have bias towards them, but the Vikings were to win, same thing with Seahawks and the Cardinals, I wouldn't be surprised either. It's going to be a very good game with, once again, big playoff implications.
Yeah, and to your point about the turnovers, I didn't know that these are the two teams that lead the league in turnovers. That kind of turns me to the Falcons a little bit, because I like their DBs more.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Bates is an absolute animal. AJ Terrell back there, they have guys that go and get the ball out of the air. So in a team where they're not too good at keeping it away from your defense, a defense that's good at it, I still think the Vikings pull this out. The Vikings better overall team. But we didn't pick out every game this week in terms of games we want to talk about. I feel like there's a lot of washes. We're at that point in the season where you know the teams that literally want to lose the game to have a better draft pick, and they're playing a team that's obviously going to dominate them and just move on to the playoffs. So we narrowed it down a little bit. But going on to the next game, and I picked it because of an upset that happened earlier in similar teams, the Browns at Steelers. Jameis Winston maybe showing a little bit of magic again, some snow angels on the field maybe. Maybe not this time in Pittsburgh, though. In Pittsburgh, is a little bit of a different animal. Was able to beat the Steelers at home in Cleveland. A little bit of a different game here, though.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to take the Steelers on this one. I really hope that they win, because I'm super high on the Steelers. I think they're super, super fun team. The whole quarterback situation is really interesting to me with them, how they had Justin Fields, and they also have Russell Wilson, and they kind of, like, they throw in Justin Fields in there every the plays at the end of the game. I'm like, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
And they put up 44 points in Cincinnati last week. And also the Browns just played on Monday night against the Broncos. They were making me a little nervous on that one, almost ruining my perfect week, as we said. But I don't think the Steelers are going to lose to the Browns twice. Yeah. I think that would just be really outrageous.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to lose to the Browns twice either. Like, maybe if they won the earlier game of the season, maybe they could have lost this game. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they'll lose twice, and, like, the Steelers had a great game last week. You know, like, that was their best offensive game all season, and, like, they're really, really starting to figure things out now, I feel. And, I mean, yeah, Jameis, That was just a classic Jameis game on Monday. Yes. Like 500 yards. I saw some stat, like, if you include the yards from the two pick sixes, he had the most throwing yards ever in a game. So, you know, it's just a classic Jameis game. I wouldn't be surprised if he does, like, I don't think, not 500 yards against the Steelers defense, but, like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he has another crazy game again like that. I mean, it's all he has. So,
yeah.
I don't think that the Browns can keep up with the Steelers, though. Like, their offense is just too flashy, you know. Yeah.
I love watching Jameis Winston
it's
play
so
football
fun.
So much.
So fun.
He's such a fun guy.
I love
guy.
Every part of it. There's not one part of it that isn't fun to watch. And maybe if you're a Browns fan, it's not fun to watch. But
he throws the stupidest turnovers ever, and like, but then he has a crazy throw. Like,
oh yeah, and then he'll make a throw downfield where you're like,
you wish this guy was like actually like really good. Yeah. Like.
And then the post-game quotes,
athlete.
Too, are all
oh
like,
God.
God, put that ball in my hand or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, so true, Jameis.
Like, please, Jesus, stop me from throwing pick sixes in the post-game or something.
It makes
I don't
wonder,
know if that's
like,
going to do it.
Like, what if the Browns started him at the beginning of the season?
Yeah,
right?
They'd be
like,
better.
They've been doing
definitely
pretty
be better.
With him.
Yeah.
But aside from that game, only one more game that I thought was very notable, very talkable about this week, and that's going to be Chargers at Chiefs in division game. Two teams that already locked into the playoffs, two very good teams, two very good franchise quarterbacks. Primetime game Sunday night, probably the best game of the week right now in terms of looking at it beforehand. Who do you guys think wins this one? Is the Chiefs black magic going to stay with them, Grace?
I fear yes. Yeah. But I think if the black magic is going to stop anywhere other than like the Bills, be the Chargers. Start they're here. Just too good. Jim Harbaugh as the Chargers coach is so fun. Yeah. Like I wasn't sure about that at first because I was like, I mean, you never like some college coaches just don't translate
right,
to the
right,
NFL.
Right.
It happens. Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, we could go down the list, but he's been really great. That team's Justin Herbert is great. I like what I'm seeing, but I still have to go with the devil magic from the Kansas City Chiefs and is that game in Kansas City or LA?
This game is going to be I believe it's in L.A.
Okay.
Right now.
That does help the Chargers significantly.
No, they're actually
Kansas
at,
City.
At
Kansas
City.
Oh,
Kansas
never mind.
City.
That locked it in for me.
Big difference. Big difference.
Huge
yeah.
difference. It'll be the Chiefs, I think.
I think it's going to be the Chargers. You know, they played really – Chiefs played really bad football over the past 2 weeks. You know, almost losing – I mean, yeah, Bryce Young's been so much better, but almost losing to the Panthers is inexcusable. And almost losing to the Raiders is inexcusable.
Yeah.
And, like – I don't know. It has to catch up with them at some point. Yeah, it already happened the Bills game, but, like, we've already seen, like, in all of November, every single one of their wins was just so stupid. So, like, I think the Chargers might come out with this one. I think they match up pretty well, too, because, like, you know, Chargers have a great offensive line. Chiefs defense is, like, basically their best part of their team. And the fact that they have a good line to match up against that defensive line, I think it's going to help out Herbert a lot. I think a lot is going to depend on how well his wide receivers do, you know, if they're going to decide to drop the ball or not. But I think the Chargers are going to come out of this one. I don't know. I think the Chiefs are going to have another incident where their black magic's going to run out, you know?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I hope so, too.
I think it's obviously going to be super close. The Chiefs just never beat any team, doesn't matter how good or bad they are,
by more
a
than
large
three
margin.
Points.
Yes.
You know, like,
if you ever see Chiefs or the other team that they're playing plus 10, plus 13, just take it because the Chiefs will not win the game by that many points. But they will win the game, and I think that's what I have to stick with here. I think there's a disparity between the late-game Chiefs and the late-game Chargers that is kind of pointing me towards the Chiefs, and I think the Chargers play their best football early and play worse as the game goes on. Maybe not this season with Harbaugh, but at least Herbert has throughout his career, and they literally – I know it was with Brandon Staley as the head coach, have lost games that they should win within the last 2 minutes of the game in very embarrassing ways. And the Chiefs do the exact opposite. They win those games when they're supposed to lose them with 30 seconds left. They go out there. Mahomes finds Travis Kelce for a 30-yard gain. They kick a field goal. I've seen it so many times. Cool matchup going to be Derwin James and Travis Kelce again. They've had some beef in the past, some suplexes from Derwin James as well. He loves those, gets suspended for them all the time. But I think that the Chiefs are just going to go out there and kick a late-game field goal and win like they always do in this one. And we'd love to talk football all Friday here, but that's going to do it for us here in the Rose Hill Studios. I'm your host, Evan Harkin. I've been alongside Trey Rodriguez and Perfect Grace McCarron with Perfect Will Talent behind the glass, handling the production throughout the show. Bobby Chaffardini is a sports director here at WFUV, and this has been NFL Friday saying so long from WFUV Sports.